In April, 45 citations were handed out for underage drinking at a downtown bar named Rehab. This prompted a response from campus officials at UW-Stout, including Chancellor Bob Meyer, who wrote letters to the Menominee City Council urging them not to renew the bar's liquor license at the end of June. 2 weeks ago, the council denied the license renewal, but there's still a chance the license could be transferred and the bar could remain open. The incident provides a local lens through which to look at the state's long tradition of drinking and various efforts to reduce high-risk drinking on campus and the state as a whole. This hour, we'll talk about the battle over the Rehab Bar liquor license, efforts underway at UW-Stout to combat problem drinking, and how the state is coming to terms with its embrace of alcohol. This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning on Ideas Station's 88.3 WHWC Menominee Eau Claire and 88.7 WRFW. Two guests join me this hour. First, I'd like to introduce from our studios in Madison, Julia Sherman. Julia is director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the University of Wisconsin Law School in Madison. Julia, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. Joining me in studio in Eau Claire is Doug Mell. He is a longtime newspaper man and also currently the UW-Stout Executive Director of University Communications and External Relations. Doug Mell, welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Rich.
Thanks for being with us. Also, I have to mention that we did reach out to the owner of the Rehab Bar in Menominee, David Zempel. He was interested in coming on the show, but then we stopped hearing from him. Also, we reached out to multiple members of the Menominee City Council, and they said that because this is an ongoing situation that could end up in litigation, they were advised not to talk to us. So with that, we're going to just push on through with the guests that we have, and we've got a number of topics that we're going to touch on, but I want to open up the phone lines if anyone has any thoughts about this situation in UW-Stout, or more broadly, about how the state of Wisconsin is known in terms of its drinking culture and heritage, give us a call. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. So, Doug Mell, I'll start with you. Why did the chancellor and members of the chancellor's coalition decide to write the letters to the Menominee City Council, specifically naming an establishment?
Well, we've had, as you mentioned, the Chancellor's Coalition on Alcohol and Other Drug Abuse, and Julia has been gracious enough to work with that coalition over the years on our plans to address high-risk drinking. We've had that coalition for probably over 25 years. And it includes both members from the campus. I served on it actually for 11 years. I just, as of, I think, January, stepped off of it. But I was served on it for 11 years, and it also includes community members. So it really is intended to bring a whole bunch of a number of people from the community, the police chief from the city of Menominee is on it, for example, people from Arbor Place, and the Menominee School District is on it as well. So the coalition and the chancellor decided to get involved in this particular issue because, frankly, this situation was just so egregious that it called for action. We've been involved in situations before. The late former chancellor Sorensen was obviously involved in issues involving high risk drinking during his tenure. So it's not that unusual for us to be involved in issues. We're part of the community. As everybody knows, UW-Stout is like downtown Menominee. So, I mean, we're within a block and a half of the rehab, and it obviously affects our students. But this issue is just so egregious that it really called for action, and the coalition and Chancellor Meyer decided to step up.
The egregious, you know, incident you're talking about is specifically the underage drinking citations in one night, 45?
I am, 40, 45, I think. Total, there was 50-some.
Yeah.
And some of the things, right, some of the things that we had heard about just how easy it was, not just on that particular night, but other nights, how easy it was to get in. It was, I don't want to overstate it, but it was almost like it was an open door. I mean, especially when you get 45 in one night, I mean, it almost is an open door, right? And then, you know, there was a situation a week later where the police tried again. They sent four people in, either underage or with fake IDs. They got in two, so it was a pattern. This was not, it was very clear that this was not a one-off. I mean, this wasn't just like, you know, the bouncer having a bad night. This was, or everybody else in the bar having a bad night. There was obviously a pattern here. You know, you mentioned that the chancellor sent a letter and to the council members, and he did send a letter to the council members, and he says in the letter that, you know, this is not an issue that anyone can take lightly. He said that in his letter because of the financial implications that this is going to have for the owner of the rehab and the people I work for. But what he said was, this owner has shown a brazen disregard for any semblance of the duty he has to serve alcohol according to state and federal laws, as well as to operate his establishment as a responsible business owner and member of the community. Believe me, those were words that were chosen very, very carefully, I can tell you, because, you know, obviously I worked with the chancellor on it. Mm-hmm. So we didn't take it lightly, but at some point things just go over the line, and this went over the line.
Julia Sherman, I wanted to bring you in on this, and certainly, I mean, as long as taverns have had age limits, I would imagine people have tried to get in when they're not old enough. Is 45... incident or 45 citations for underage drinking, is that alarming to you in the research that you've done on this topic?
It's appalling. It shows that there is no willingness to enforce the minimum legal drinking age. You have to remember, when you get a license to operate a place that sells and serves alcohol, you are being granted a privilege. And part of that privilege is that you will, in fact, obey the law. 45 in one night is, without a doubt, the most extraordinary set of circumstances I've ever heard. And let's look back at the total operation here. Before this event, there were, as Doug mentioned, well-known stories circulating in the community that this bar was not enforcing the minimum legal drinking age. They put together a task force, the chief did, the police chief of the city of Menominee put together a task force of his officers and the UW Stout police. And then together they held this operation on one night. And I think total there were over 100 citations for a variety of offenses that were written that evening. And then later they sent in additional agents of the police to determine if anything had changed, and it had not. In fact, this is an extraordinarily well-documented case that proves that the people that were operating that bar were basically scofflaws.
The owner has said and argued this to the city council during the proceedings that there was a public hearing held a couple weeks ago. And a lot of witnesses, including some of the underage people that were cited that night, testified, but the owner said that he has since taken steps. He got this ID scanner, has hired a consulting firm to work with the staff and to help monitor this sort of thing. So does that change anything, Doug Mell?
Well, I mean, if people could see me smiling, they would see me smiling. Of course it doesn't. The first thing that comes to mind is too little, too late. The second thing that comes to mind is, you know, deathbed conversion, you know. So of course any business owner, not any, many business owners in his position would grab at whatever straws they are able to grab at in order to preserve their livelihood. I get that. I do. But what he didn't say would change, what he didn't say would change, is what the chancellor and others have called sort of the culture of high-risk drinking that exists at that establishment. And by that, I mean, go on their Facebook page, go on their website, and you will see nothing but encouragement for the overindulgence of alcohol. And the words that continue to resonate in my mind, because I did this, and we used this when we were doing our documents for the council, is they encourage students or young people to come to the bar to get wild, wet, wild, and wrecked. That's the words that they use. You tell me if you think that's in the realm of responsible alcohol service. How a bar owner is encouraging its patrons to get wet, wild, and wrecked, is that responsible bar service?
Is it illegal?
Well, it's probably unethical as far as responsible beverage service. And I'm getting in that's a question that Julie is much more prepared to,
right,
much more an authority than I am. But I've been through a lot of these before, and it's certainly unethical.
Julie Sherman?
One thing to remember here is that the research, the academic peer-reviewed research, shows that the management of a licensee, the attitude of the licensee, has a lot of control. It is a greatest single influence on how that bar operates. In fact, the management made it very clear they didn't care. And that's where we have to go from. Technology will not help if management does not make it a priority, and they have not in the past. Other states have grappled with this to the point that I know of another jurisdiction in another state that actually creates IDs with pictures of canine officers, the police dogs, on the ID, because sometimes people ask for an ID and they don't look at it. So I agree with Doug. I don't know if this is a deathbed conversion or not, but I do know that if the past foreshadows the future, this bar will not change.
I want to remind our listeners that we're talking about problem drinking, high-risk drinking on college campuses in the state of Wisconsin as a whole. We're kind of focusing on a specific incident that happened near UW-Stout. A local bar named Rehab had 45 citations, more citations than that, but 45 citations for underage drinking in one night. So now the university officials, including UW-Stout Chancellor Bob Meyer, are calling or have called on the city council to deny a liquor license renewal for the establishment. What do you think about this? 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. We've got one open phone line. If you can't make it through, keep trying. We'll get you on the air as quick as we can. I'm joined by Doug Mell. He's UW-Stout Executive Director of University Communications and External Relations. And Julia Sherman, she is Director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the University of Wisconsin Law School in Madison. We'll take our first break here on the west side. When we return, we'll get a little deeper into the issue and, you know, the chance that this bar may remain open. There's a possibility. Whether it's likely or not, that's to be seen. 1-800-228-5615. This is the West Side.
Wait, wait, don't tell me. Central Time. These programs and many more are possible thanks to listener support. You can learn about WPR programs, schedules, and so much more at WPR.org. Thank you. WPR podcasts let you hear programs whenever you want. Hear shows like To the Best of Our Knowledge and the Politics Podcast. You can find out more about all the WPR podcasts by going to WPR.org/podcasts.
You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. We're talking about the Rehab Bar, UW-Stout, and the state's tradition of drinking and its place among other states in terms of high-risk drinking. Wisconsin is known as one of the tops when it comes to binge drinking, chronic alcohol consumption among adults. So we're keeping that in context. We're thinking of that, but also looking at the local case of a bar in Menominee that just had its liquor license in effect revoked by the City Council of Menominee. And this comes after the bar had 45 citations issued in one night for underage drinking in April. Since then, UW Stout officials, including the chancellor, have called on the council not to renew the license. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got a question or a comment. I am joined by Julia Sherman. She is the director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the University of Wisconsin Law School in Madison. Joins us from our studios in Madison. Joining us here in Eau Claire is Doug Bell. He's UW Stout's Executive Director of University Communications and External Relations. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. I'd like to go to the phone lines right now, and I believe we've got Mark in Altoona. Mark, are you there?
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
Right. I hope I'm correct in remembering this, but I'm almost certain that I remember a time when at 16 you were allowed legally to drink beer in the state of Wisconsin. At the age of 18, you were allowed to drink hard liquor, and I kind of distinctly remember when farmers got in trouble that they kind of set up a couple of kegs of beer and to pay off their mortgage, and if you were 14, you could get in to drink. And this was a time when Wisconsin was at the forefront of global manufacturing, and these guys went on to win the Cold War. So I'm wondering, possibly, if you aren't treating the symptoms of the destruction of the middle class as a drinking problem or a mental health problem, as opposed to just this is a side effect of, you know, having destroyed the middle class through your kind of globalism and nanny state.
All right, Mark, thanks for the questions and interesting points. Julia Sherman, let's go to the drinking age first. What can you tell us about that, about the history of that in Wisconsin? Because time was, I know you could be 18 and drink at a beer bar outside of certain cities, but what's the verdict?
Wisconsin was one of the last states to raise its minimum legal drinking age to 21. It was 18 for a very long time here. As you remember, back during the Reagan administration, Wisconsin was at risk of losing its federal highway aid if we did not adopt the higher age 21 minimum legal drinking age. But we were among the last to do it. We are one of a handful of states that allows a parent to take their underage offspring or their underage spouse into a licensed premise, a bar or tavern or restaurant, and purchase alcohol for them. There are a couple states that allow that, but more than half states allow parents to serve their own children alcohol in their homes. So we're kind of right in the mainstream on that one. But we were late to come to the age 21 drinking age. But overall, resoundingly, it's proven to be very successful for Wisconsin and the nation. It's prevented a lot of underage and young deaths.
What about the idea of, you know, treating going after drinking itself or alcohol and the manufacture, et cetera, when this could be a mental health sort of a thing? You know, addiction is, you know, a lot of worse, addiction is a disease, and there's definitely people who have addictive personalities. So are we treating the symptom or the problem?
Well, it's really important to understand that only 8% of the Wisconsin population over age 18 is truly alcohol dependent. It's a very small part of our population. But 24% of our adult population binge drinks about once a month. And that has serious, serious ramifications, both through acute injuries and deaths that occur when people are really seriously intoxicated, and has long-term health ramifications as well, which is why we view alcohol use and excessive alcohol use especially so differently now than we did 50 years ago at the height of the Cold War. We've learned a lot about the impact of alcohol on the human body since then, and we're smart enough to learn those lessons and apply them to our lives.
Doug, go ahead. If I could, Rich. One of the points I think that, that's really important for people to know is this: our involvement with the rehab situation is really a very small part, a very small part of our efforts to deal with high risk drinking on UW-Stahl campus. We have had for a number of years now a high risk drinking prevention action plan. I have the 18-19 one here in front of me, which has already been promulgated and adopted and approved by the chancellor. Julia has helped us, graciously helped us work on our action plans in the past. She's been up to Menominee and interacts very frequently with the co-chairs of our coalition, which actually puts this prevention plan together and is implemented by our Dean of Students office. And some of it does have to do with enforcement. The task forces that, and there's funding for it for the task forces that Julia mentioned earlier, but a lot of it is dealing with both prevention, knowledge, that kind of thing. One of the things that we've started doing over the last couple of years is it's occurred to us that a lot of more of our problems now than in the past are among our students who are of legal drinking age. Not the underage, but of drinking age. So we've started a program where in the fall, all of us, and I do mean all of us, including the chancellor, for one day we fan out across the community where our students are living off campus, because these are not obviously freshmen or sophomores anymore. They're living in apartments. And we go and have face-to-face conversations with them and leave information behind about some of the things they can do, that if they do choose to drink, how they can do it responsibly and how they can stay safe. We survey our students on a regular basis through NCHA, and we have a very extensive high risk drinking prevention action plan. And part of it does, as I said, part of it does have to do with enforcement, but most of it has to do with education and helping address some of the behaviors that really lead to students getting in trouble.
And Doug Mell, I remember when I first started here back in 2011, I think I remember that there was even an online assessment that students took regarding alcohol and drug use as they registered for classes.
Yes,
is that they still do that.
And the other thing is that, and I'm sure Julie can talk more authoritarianly about this than I can, but, research has shown that once students have a problem or get into trouble with alcohol, let's say they get an underage drinking citation, if we can get to them at that point in time, we have a better chance of sort of heading off any recurring problems. And so, for example, our Dean of Students does intervene with students. When they get an underage drinking, they'll hear from our Dean of Students office. They're offered the ability to go through alcohol education classes and save some money on their ticket and save some other things if they'll do that. And a lot of them do avail themselves of that.
In addition, it's important to note that the city of Menominee has been working on this problem for quite some time.
Absolutely.
As you probably know, Wisconsin does not have a law making it illegal to be intoxicated in public.
Right.
But the city of Menominee and the city of La Crosse have both adopted ordinances. And the purpose here isn't to criminalize being intoxicated. What it does is allow the police to get that individual who is clearly not capable of taking care of themselves at that moment, vulnerable to harm, very vulnerable, especially young women, to get them to a place of safety where people are going to take care of them. And That was really a dramatic step. I believe it was done about 6 years ago in the city of Menominee. And that shows how long they've been working about it. The other aspect about this is the city's concern about the density, the number of outlets that sell and serve alcohol downtown. Research in the last 20 years, has shown conclusively that when you have a concentration, an over-concentration of alcohol outlets, you will have a higher rate of alcohol-related crime and just disorder in that location, even when all the licensees obey the law. That disorder is made worse when licensees do not obey the law. And in this particular case, one didn't, and the city has the ability to sanction that person. I was really heartened to see the mayor's comments about their concern about downtown outlet density that were in the paper over the weekend. This is an issue we've been talking about in Menominee for several years, because once awarded, an alcohol license just can't be revoked because they don't like them anymore. They can only be revoked for basically a serious violation of the law, and that's what's happened here.
With regard to density of bars in college towns, I mean, it seems like that density wouldn't exist if there wasn't a demand for it. Is that oversimplifying this, Julia?
It's oversimplifying it. That is what a lot of people thought for a very long time. But there is research now that indicates that at a point that the overconcentration, the oversupply of alcohol begins to create the demand. In other words, where alcohol is more available, people will drink more. It's no longer filling the need, it is creating the need. Unfortunately, there is no number where they say X number of locations, you got to cut it off there. That simply doesn't exist. This is an emerging issue in research. It was just the past year that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued methodologies for communities to calculate their alcohol outlet density. So this is an area where research is coming out slowly, and it's going to take a little bit of time to implement it. But Menominee deserves a lot of credit for recognizing that part of the problem was, in fact, density, and they're thinking more carefully. Wisconsin communities face a broader challenge because while locally you can deny an application for a new license for any reason that's not discriminatory or arbitrary, once awarded, it becomes difficult to get that license back, which means that it's going to take a long time for some communities, especially some campus communities, to resolve their outlet density issues if they have one.
We're talking about high-risk drinking and in college towns and in the state as a whole. I'm joined by Doug Mell of UW-Stout. He's the Executive Director of University Communications and External Relations there. And Julia Sherman joins us from her studios in Madison. She's Director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the UW. We're talking specifically about a situation in Menominee where a bar with the name Rehab saw 45 citations for underage drinking in April. Since then, campus officials, including the chancellor, have called on the city council to deny a liquor license renewal. They did that 2 weeks ago. There's more to this story, though. There's a possibility that the license could be transferred, all that pending approval from the city council. A reminder that we did invite the owner of the tavern, of the Rehab Bar, David Zempel. At first, he seemed interested in being on the program, but then we stopped hearing from him after the city council denied his liquor license renewal. Also, we reached out to members of the Menominee City Council, but they've told us that they've been advised not to talk about this ongoing situation publicly. If you've got a question or a comment, let us know, 1-800-228-5615. We're talking about binge drinking, and we're going to get into some of the things that lawmakers and local governments can do to try to reduce the problematic drinking behaviors. And the question that I'm wondering is whether or not some people see this as like legislating morality or something like that. This debate over drinking has gone on ever since alcohol was around, probably. So love to hear what you think. 1-800-228-5615. 5615. Doug Mell, I wanted to go back to you and talk not just about this violation of the law, you know, these citations that were issued in April, but also one of the things that Chancellor Meyer's letter brought up was that there were drink specials, you know, including $10 all you can drink the night before what is known as Advisement Day. Also, there's Intervention Fest. I mean, the titles seem to be kind of the names of these events are definitely meant to get a reaction, I would think. But I was just wondering, could you explain a little bit about how this bar might be encouraging the problematic drinking?
Again, I'll go back to the original letter that Chancellor Meyer sent to the Menominee City Council. It's part of the public record. It's been reported on. This is part of the letter. Consider, for example, the 10th annual Intervention Fest the bar hosted on Saturday, April 21st, just 2 weeks shy of graduation. This event began at 10 a.m., according to the bar's Facebook page, and was intended to encourage all patrons to, quote, get wet, wild, and wrecked with us all day. The bar also posted photos of patrons who started lining up at 9 a.m. for what it called its biggest party ever. Additionally, to encourage UW Stout students to drink to excess the night before Advisement Day, each fall and each spring we have a day where there are no classes, where students are encouraged to go talk to their program directors, advising, et cetera, and have other conversations on campus. By the way, Advisement Day is under serious review now at the university. Mm. The bar posted on its Facebook page that it was offering a $10 all-you-can-drink special. One student responded that it was his favorite holiday from school. And as the chancellor said in his letter, yes, because of this, we are exploring alternatives to Advisement Day. Finally, the rehab is well known for its Thirsty Thursday specials that include drink for free. Unconscionable specials like these put pressure on other responsible owners and promote a race to the bottom, the chancellor said in his letter.
Julia, sure.
I could go on.
So that, I mean, again, is it legal? Not the question, or not the issue that you take with it, Doug, or that the chancellor does. I see. Julia Sherman, you know, these drink specials, I'll throw it out there again. It's not illegal, whether it's ethical or not. That seems to be in question. So should there be laws or something to keep owners from being able to hold specials like this that seem to be targeting college students or encouraging problem drinking?
I would suggest they're not just targeting college students. This is just a general drink special that encourages excessive drinking, and it's up to the community. The community has the ability to adopt an ordinance that would ban flat rate drinking, drink specials, time limited drink specials, that anything that appears to encourage excessive drinking. Those sorts of ordinances have been passed by multiple communities, not so much in Wisconsin, but in other states, because they are very problematic. They're very problematic. And I think it's important that we have to note right here, this entire discussion is possible because in Wisconsin, we have local control of alcohol. If you've not lived outside Wisconsin, you may not realize how extraordinary that is. If this was California and say we were in the LA area, everybody would have to take a plane and go to Sacramento to talk about it. In Ohio, regardless where you are in the state, you got to go to the state capital in Columbus because that's where the statewide liquor commission is. In fact, in Wisconsin, our territorial legislature created a system that continues that says communities know what they need best. And right now, we're seeing that operate where the city council in Menominee has looked at the situation downtown and decided it doesn't fit within their mores. It's not the standard they wish to see for their community. And that's wonderful. And it's also very important for us to realize that every community in Wisconsin has the ability and authority to create its own alcohol environment. Drink special ban might be something the city council would want to look at in the future. The Madison City Council looked at it, I think, about 15 years ago and decided not to adopt such an ordinance. But the possibility is out there. They could make it illegal.
We've got a commenter who was not able to stay on the phone, but they were calling from River Falls. They said that they mentioned that this goes beyond bars, that there are, community events. River Falls has yard parties, which I'm not really sure what that means, but maybe it's a campus thing where I know that before classes begin, college students will have big celebrations or big parties in their yards and whatnot. So, Doug Mal, I mean, you talked about the door-to-door campaign. Are there any efforts at trying to – because once you leave campus, you know, it's still the responsibility of campus officials to make sure that students are keeping themselves safe? How do you deal with that?
It's certainly we have a responsibility to do whatever we can to ensure the safety of all of our students in all situations. So, yeah. I think our police would say that the incidents of these large sort of house or yard parties that we've seen has decreased over time when sort of as the campus understood that we were serious about this and we will, I mean, again, as I indicated, part of the high-risk drinking prevention action plan does include enforcement, and that enforcement doesn't just mean going into bars and checking for underage drinkers. It means patrolling the areas of around campus, outside of campus, and seeing where there may be issues with large parties as well. So I think what's important for people to understand is just sort of what we're talking about, though, with high-risk drinking. We at UW-Stout have seen so many, way too many issues with students either dying or being injured because of overconsumption of alcohol. You see it on other campuses. You see drownings, for example, in La Crosse and Eau Claire. You see it all over the state where you know, it's to the point now where if I hear a student die on a campus in Wisconsin, the first thing I think about is what's going to be the blood alcohol level that they're going to find. And we could prevent so many problems on our campus if we were able to get a handle on this, which is why we have the high-risk drinking prevention plan. But as the chancellor has said in his letter, we need help from the community, and as you said, the city council took a big step in helping us in making a statement that they're willing to help us.
Julia Sherman, what is the cost to the community beyond just the campus when high-risk drinking, takes a life or whenever there's a death related to alcohol? I mean, do you have any facts or figures? I think there was a study that in Dunn County it was over $1 million or something I had heard about. But have you got any specifics, Julia Sherman?
I do. I suspect you were looking at the study that was done by the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute a few years back.
Sure.
They didn't look at alcohol-related deaths specifically. They looked at the cost of excessive drinking, and it was over $1 million for Dunn County. It was $43 million for Dunn County annually.
Wow.
That is about close to $1,000, $980 for every single resident of the county. Those are funds that could be spent elsewhere. The idea somehow that this is economic development, that study pretty much disproved it. We're spending $6.8 billion annually in the state of Wisconsin on excessive alcohol use. So clearly it has an economic harm on the state and its residents.
With that, let's take another call. This is Mark in Altoona. Mark, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm calling back, I guess, and I'm hearing this self-righteousness on the part of liberals who are going to protect people from themselves. And I think they don't realize that the younger people are, when they learn responsibility of drinking, the better off they're going to be in their lives. It's a Darwinist principle here. If you're going to protect idiots, you're going to have a society filled with idiots.
All right, Mark, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got a question or a comment. Julia Sherman, are we trying to protect people from themselves here? What about personal responsibility? And I bring this up because not only because of the caller, but when I looked at the social media reaction, the comments to the chancellor's post and when he posted the letter on the UW Stout page, I would say almost a majority of the commenters were saying that, you know, they were kind of talking about how this is how students learn. If they have too much to drink, they learn what they can handle, etc.
Let me respond to that.
Go for it.
First of all, I disagree with that, Rich. I think the majority, because it's part of my job to actually monitor it, the great majority of people who did post both on the, as you mentioned, the blog and our Facebook page, were very supportive of the chancellor's involvement.
I didn't mean to assume or insinuate that there weren't positive comments.
I would say the majority. There are some, you know, that frankly, you know, any time a university, Stout or Eau Claire or whatever, gets involved in a city issue, what you always hear is, you know, we're the 300-pound elephant and we're throwing our weight around. And is this really an issue that the university should be involved in? Actually, in this issue, yes, it is. We have a response, as the chancellor has said over and over again, we have a responsibility because we're a member of the community. And when we see something, as I said earlier, so egregious, as far as a personal responsibility, we have never said and we will not say that students of legal age should not drink. What we hope is that they drink legally, but we will say that those establishments that as Julia has said, have the privilege of serving alcohol in the city of Menominee, they have to do it legally and responsibly. And there is no way that you can say that the rehab has done that to date.
Julia Sherman, anything to add?
Yeah, several things. First off, this isn't really about morals. It's about people. The educational efforts haven't been perhaps as effective as we would have hoped. You know, last year, the Wisconsin Cancer Council and the American Society of Clinical Oncologists did a study, and it turns out only 30% of Americans know that the role that heavy alcohol use has in cancer. And while people are very concerned about cancer, and they clearly understand the link between cigarette smoking and cancer, most young women are not aware that when they drink excessively, they increase their risk for breast cancer in their lives. Most parents are not aware that if their kids start drinking at age 14 or earlier, they increase their lifetime risk of alcohol or drug dependence to 40%. I think we'd all make better decisions if we knew more, and people are learning more, and different groups like the Wisconsin Cancer Council, the American Academy of Pediatric and Adolescent Medicine, are working hard for parents to understand the greater health risk that early drinking and excessive alcohol use poses to all of us, whether or not we go to college. It's not about morals. It's about health and safety.
We're talking about alcohol and Wisconsin's drinking heritage. Do you think that Wisconsin needs to get a grip on its drinking culture, or should alcohol intake be a personal decision left to that individual? We're talking this hour about a call from UW Stout officials for a Menominee bar to lose its liquor license after 45 underage drinking citations were issued there in a single night. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the possibility of a transfer of a liquor license at this bar and the possibility that it might remain open. And we'll also round out the discussion about steps that the state and local communities can take to try to make sure that people drink responsibly within their borders. 1-800-228-5615.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. Do you have questions about something you heard on WPR? Contact our audience services department by emailing listener@WPR.org or by calling 1-800-747-7444.
You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. We're talking about high-risk drinking on campus and a local story in which officials at UW-Stout are calling for a Menominee bar named Rehab to lose its liquor license after 45 underage drinking citations were issued on a single night in April. University officials say the bar promotes binge drinking, while the owner has said he's taken steps to address the situation. I'm joined this hour by Doug Mell, UW-Stout Executive Director of University Communications and External Relations, joining us from a studio in Madison, Julia Sherman. She's the director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the University of Wisconsin Law School in Madison. 1-800-228-5615. If you've got a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about the possibility of a transfer. The latest twist in this story, Doug Mell, is that that an agent could be given the that the license could be transferred from the owner, David Zempel, to this agent who holds liquor licenses for bars, including the Pickle in Eau Claire, which has kind of got a similar history of at least, you know, in the rumor mill promoting binge drinking. I don't think there have been any mass citations issued there recently, but it's a place that's got a bit of a history. So, you know, I saw another post from Chancellor Bob Meyer. What does the university think about the possibility of transferring the liquor license?
And you're right. We were asked last week when the Leader Telegram newspaper was doing a story about the proposed transfer for a statement. And so the chancellor issued one, and he did post it on his blog on Friday. And basically what he said was that the action by the city council when it voted not to renew as of July 1, not to renew the Rehab's license, sent a strong signal to the community that it wanted a new direction for its downtown, one that was not centered on encouraging high-risk drinking, which we've talked about today, among young people. What he then went on to say is that that he was concerned about the proposal to transfer it to transfer the Rehab license to that Eau Claire group that you mentioned, because that group, and this is all public, you look on their Facebook page, et cetera, that group is associated with establishments that do target college students with drink specials. You can go on their Facebook page and see that. So, and then the chancellor went on to say, we fear this transfer could perpetuate the current high-risk drinking culture that exists at the Rehab. In addition, he says, and I think this makes a lot of sense, that a better option would be to deny the transfer and then allow the council to carefully consider alternatives from applicants who have business plans, especially if those business plans include responsible beverage service, and they may be a better fit for downtown Menominee.
With that, let's take, this is going to be the final call of the day, Clarence from Superior. What's on your mind, Clarence? Are you there? All right. Julia Sherman, I want to go to you then. With regard to the transfer, do you think that this, you know, if another person is holding the liquor license, does that change anything about the bar or by the nature of the transaction itself?
First, I think we need to note that this technically isn't a transfer.
Oh.
You can't transfer or sell an alcohol license. When the statutes refer to a transfer, they're talking about a transfer in a location. This is a change in the agent. And there wasn't a lot of time given. This is clearly a last gasp attempt to hang on to their license. This sort of change in agent, it requires some investigation into that person. It requires a background check. I don't know if there's sufficient time to do that. it's clear it needs to be done. There needs to be discussions with the Eau Claire police about the record of the establishment in the other city. It would probably make more sense for the city, and this is just my opinion, it's not a legal judgment, I'm not an attorney, but it would make more sense to go ahead and let that license expire and then have this individual come in as a new applicant and let the process proceed. And perhaps there are other applicants that have a better vision of the bar. Let the community build the alcohol environment they want. Be proactive and not necessarily reactive to a licensee who has proven to be a very poor steward of the public trust.
And Julia Sherman, we've got like 1 minute left in the program. I wanted to ask you, just as a state, you know, what kind of job are state lawmakers doing to kind of deal with Wisconsin's history as a high-risk drinking state? We are, I think, the only state in the nation that doesn't criminalize the first offense, drinking under or driving while intoxicated. Should lawmakers do more? And if they aren't, why?
Well, I think it's important to note that there are four factors in the alcohol environment, and our state legislature only has control over one of them, the tax rate. On that particular subject, the record's pretty well known. The beer tax has not been increased in Wisconsin since the year Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. The other three aspects of the alcohol environment, the availability of alcohol, the acceptability of alcohol, the attractiveness of it, those are largely under the control of our local elected officials, and I see them stepping up and making changes at an extraordinary pace. It's a slow process, but in fact, it is moving.
That's our time. Thank you to my guests for your discussion this hour. I'd like to thank Doug Mell. He's UW Stout's Executive Director of University Communications and External Relations. Julia Sherman is Director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the University of Wisconsin Law School in Madison. Thank you both. I'd also like to thank Team Westside, including Mort Cypress, Bonnie Lenz Clark for handling on-air production, Molly Dove and Catherine Thomas for producing the hour, and of course Dean Collenbeck and Kate Springer for keeping the Ducks in a row, also Cora Lang for promotions. We begin the candidate forums, a long series of candidate forums, next week.